Thanks for tuning in to Organic Matters. Since June is just around the corner, let's start this part of the show for our, I want to call it the gardening section of the show. And in some places, most places, a lot of the area that hears me for sure, it's the ideal time to plant the second round of summer produce in your garden. Or to begin with, what we call summer vegetables, or actually summer fruits, at least to botanists. Any plant part that makes seeds is a fruit. So tomatoes, cucumbers, melons, peppers, eggplants, squash, okra, and so on for a number of other plants that we call vegetables. They're actually a fruit plant. Now think about extending your harvest with some succession planting. Start another round of tomatoes, cucumbers, squash, eggplants, basil, if you're an herb kind of guy like I am. The plants you start now from seeds or as seedlings will actually produce for you into the fall. And if you haven't done it before, make the next round of vegetables something new. Maybe a variety you haven't planted before. I am really kind of fond, for instance, of scallop-edged patty pan squashes, which I hadn't planted until very recently. They have a nutty flavor, especially when sliced thick. And if you haven't tried it, try cooking them on the grill. Do watch this time of year for a white powder on your vegetable leaves. Because what that is powdery mildew that develops in humid air around the leaves, especially a problem with certain squash and cucumbers and tomatoes. The best way I've found to treat this particular problem because of the hot weather is selectively remove branches to open up the plant and then rinse the leaves with water to wash off the spores. Be sure to wash leaves early in the day so that they're dry long before nightfall. That's when the trouble arises. Otherwise, mildew will just get worse if you do it too late in the day. And something that a lot of people aren't aware of, problems with unpollinated tomato flowers when it's late in the year or in the hotter weather, most people don't realize honeybees don't pollinate tomatoes. Instead, tomatoes are pollinated by wind, or there is a large few native bees like bumblebees and carpenter bees that do help the plants. These bees, what we call buzz, pollinate the tomatoes, meaning that they vibrate their bodies to shake pollen from the male parts of the tomato flower, then carry it to the next flower. You can be a big bee by using the back of an old electric toothbrush, for instance, to buzz the inside of a flower, then move it to the next flower and do another buzz. Do it gently, though, and you'll be amazed at how much more prolific your plants will be. And here's a falsehood my father taught me. He always thought that pruning off tomato suckers and branches would force the plant to produce more fruits. Well, actually, studies have shown the opposite is true. Since leaves make the energy the plants use to make flowers and fruits. So in general, the more leaves you've got, the more energy you have going into that particular plant. About the only reason to really prune tomato plants is to train them to a trellis or to remove selective branches for good air circulation and more light penetration. Air circulation staves off the mildew we just talked about a minute ago, while light penetration helps power the plant and ripen fruits. You've got those leaves there to collect the energy. You need the light to produce it. I should mention here, though, that removing the lowest tomato branches when they get bigger does help, and at least in keeping hungry critters away from tomato fruits and prevent soil fungi from splashing up onto the leaves, especially if you're not a careful waterer. And if you're a mixed gardener like I am, it's time to light up your vegetable garden with another round of summer flowers. This time of year, you can plant marigolds, zinnias, cosmos, and of course, sunflowers. Do remember also, it's hot, folks. Mulch vegetable plants with a pretty thick layer of straw. But I've learned over time, don't use hay. So much of the hay all over this country, wherever you're hearing me, has been doused with herbicides, so they get a higher percentage of hay. Unfortunately, science shows those herbicides are stay in that plant, especially hay, until it disintegrates. And if it does, it's going to get where? In the soil of your garden. Stay away from hay unless you know the absolute source. In my case, I have used hay a few times when I knew it was grown completely organically. Even though conventional synthetic chemical fertilizers could easily burn your plants this time of year, so get away from them. Feed your vegetable garden with organic vegetable fertilizer. Pull the mulch back, sprinkle the fertilizer on the soil, water, then replace the mulch. You need the mulch in the heat. You can also add liquid fertilizer if you happen to have a water irrigation system. It even has its own name. It's a process called fertigation and can be done at low concentrations, if you like, every time you water. Use liquid fertilizer as a quick-fix foliar spray also for your plants showing signs of a nutrient deficiency. If you start getting skeleton-eye tomato leaves and little tiny balls of green around, that's just evidence of tomato hornworms. Start looking for green, white, and black striped caterpillars on stems and the backsides of leaves, and don't be shy with them. Easiest ways, pull the worms off the plants and drop them into a container of water. I actually take a little of the cheapest vegetable oil I've got and float a little bit on top of the water. It definitely solves the problem. And if you're looking at skeleton-eyed sunflower and squash leaves, though, that's a lot of times attributed, you don't even realize it, to little tiny birds called lesser goldfinches, popular in most areas where my show is being broadcast. And I don't deter them. They're big on eating aphids and other problems on your plants. Instead, I just plant extra plants and everybody gets to share. In most areas, you can enjoy your peaches and your plums and other stone fruits just as they ripen. If you have extras, I always do this. I literally cut the fruit in half, remove the pits, and then just freeze the rest of the fruit for winter pies or other desserts you might want to make later in the year. And if your harvest is overwhelming, do a favor, share it with people that can really use it, that need it. There's organizations all over this country, no matter where you are, that provide volunteer, what they call gleaners, to pick and donate your fruit and other foods to food banks. And there's also other feeding programs, which are so, right now, really important with what's been going on the last year or two with COVID and everything. You can find lists of gleaners. For instance, you can go, even though they're not in this part of the country, there's a number of food alliances. One I know is in San Diego. There's one in Los Angeles. I know of one in San Antonio, Texas, and Austin, Texas. And I'm sure there'll be one near you if you just have, you're lucky enough to have more of a bounty than you can actually use. And if you're really a diehard gardener and you have the time, those same organizations are always looking for gleaners, people to help get that food to the people that could really use it. Fertilize your fruit trees with organic fertilizer. It's easy enough just to follow the label directions without going too deep into it. Water regularly, and when you water, water deeply, especially during the fruiting and growing season. Remember, you can't actually give them too much water. But you can actually water too often, and that usually happens with people that don't water deeply enough to begin with. If you just happen to live in an area where you can grow citrus, and even now there's some pretty decent, what we call hardy avocado, they do good with a granular organic citrus, what they call it, a citrus fertilizer, but it's granulated and goes on the soil rather than directly, you know, on the plant. Water citrus, same as everybody, once a week or so, very deeply when you water. Pomegranates, figs, and if you can grow guavas, they're best watered every 2 weeks, depending on how hot it is and, you know, just where is your garden. If you chose your shrubs around your house to be where they should be, in other words, the right plant in the right place, then drought-tolerant shrubs don't really need a lot of care this time of year. Yeah, you can clean out dead flowers and, you know, take off spent leaves. Keep them mulched, folks, and water deeply at least once every few weeks. Mulch and water. Water lawns no more than twice a week. Once is okay in most places. As a rule of thumb, I put out the little tuna cans or whatever you want. You can even buy a kit. around your sprinkling areas or however you're watering it, and you need to put on a solid inch, one real inch, every week or 10 days, depending on just how your weather's going, and it will keep your lawn plenty healthy through the summer and be as efficient as you can on your water use. Do be aware that many potted plants do need more attention through summer. I fertilize non-succulent potted plants with a general all-purpose organic fertilizer. You can use liquid indoors is the easiest, liquid and or granulated outdoors. Just follow the label instructions. Most of them are pretty accurate, and with organics, if you err to too much, you've just kind of hurt your pocketbook. You haven't hurt the plants. Unfortunately, that's not true if you're using synthetic and chemical fertilizers. Take just a minute here to talk about houseplants. This time of year, small black flies, you see them, circle potted plants. They're called fungus gnats. They eat decaying organic matter, and themselves are not really dangerous for the plant. Then they lay their eggs in the wet potting mix. Eliminate them if you can, number one, by watering much less. It's a good sign you're probably watering too much. Covering the soil, I always use some little round pebbles you can buy. You can even get them at most of the big box stores. If you cover your soil with them, it prevents the black flies from laying the eggs in your flower pots. And it kind of interrupts their access to the potting mix, and pretty soon they'll be gone. There's also another little bug, thrips, and they cause a tiny whitey spot on the tops of leaves and little black spots underneath. The black spots, incidentally, are the thrips. You can just wash them off with water, or yet, it's even better to give your houseplants a vacation outdoors every few weeks. I find a place to put these plants under eaves so they do not get direct sun, but they do get open shade. And that allows the natural predators that do live outside to just feast on your pests that are on your plant and eliminate the problem and give your, houseplant a little summer vacation. So I hope that gives you some ideas for the hot summer that's here. Everybody thinks, oh, you just quit gardening. And no, there's a lot of stuff you can do. This was just a few ideas. Thanks for listening to Organic Matters.